PM. At this time, I will ask for a roll call.
Sharon Ward, here.
Rick Jones, present.
Stu Martinez, present.
Kathy Agin, present.
And the mayor is present.
Let me see. Don, why don't you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Item number four on the agenda this
First
evening.
First thing, Mr. Mayor, I need to add something to the agenda.
Okay.
We need to add into housekeeping for Ben Broadband.
That's
was purchased, and under our franchise agreement, as every other city, they have to have basically a vote to allow them to sell business. And we don't meet again until in July. And they were having attorney things back and forth last meeting when we were here. So I talked to Amy Tykeson this morning, the CEO of Ben Broadband. She's would ask if we would approve it. The attorneys, everyone's agreed, you have a copy of it. It's simply going a name change of the company. It doesn't change rates. It doesn't change our agreement. It doesn't change our percentages or anything else. So if we could just do that at first to approve that name change. I'd put it under a consent agenda if we were having a regular meeting.
Okay.
Secondly, there's an order change. Item 5 actually needs to be moved down to after you adjourn the meeting. This is different than we're accustomed to because we've not had an urban renewal district and we don't have other districts that are like that.
Okay.
So take item 5 and just move it down to below 9.
Okay.
So that everyone knows what will happen is we're doing an ordinance that establishes establishes the agency. And at this point, the agency has its own board. We haven't yet appointed the board, so this is first meeting. You have a list of those, and all but one are here because they couldn't be here, have all agreed to serve. These people have varying levels of knowledge of the plan. Wendy would have the least because she has not participated in the past. Of course, over time, they will become very knowledgeable of the plan, but the rest of the folks have attended many meetings on it. So what will happen is you'll hold your meeting on the ordinance that establishes the agency. You'll appoint the agency. Once you're done appointing the agency, then you can go through and take more comment just in general like you always would, any comments that you have. Then the council meeting is adjourned. And then you will actually exit. The agency people here, who you know who you are, will come up and sit down, and then they will deal with item 5. And Elaine is here, and she can help walk us through that. And this is the only time, because we're deciding tonight to form the agency, and then the agency is formed by the members, then item 5 says we're going to put the plan out for public review. Then that will be out for 30 days, basically the next month, until July, and that's then people can call and ask questions, talk about it, and do whatever they want. And then it will come back in July for approval. But that's kind of the order. In the future, the new group you form, they'll meet on their own nights and do their own thing.
Okay.
This is just kind of a one-time deal as you form it. A lot of people, the urban renewal actually has its own budget, it has its own audit. It has to be audited just the same as the fire district or anything else. It's a stepchild of the city, kind of, but it actually makes its own decisions, has its own budget, and will be audited.
Okay.
And so it's a long-standing ORS. These have been around for decades, and that's why there's so many of them. And so for most communities that have been around, they've had, Ben's had them come and go, and they've got two going right now, and we'll hear more about that. Redmond's has had them come and go. It's how they helped build the airport, you name it. So there's nothing new to this. It's just new to applying because we're new as a city.
Okay.
So with that, if we would then go ahead and that's all I have to add to the agenda. There was as admin broadband, take that up, and then move item five to the end.
All right, I would ask council to consider the consent to assign agreement. Staff has basically explained that it's a simple name change, and ask for any discussion. Everybody's sort of grounded there? All right, then I'll entertain a motion to approve the consent to assign agreement on Bryn Broadband as presented to you, which you have in front of you.
So moved.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Let the record reflect that the consent to assign agreement is unanimous. We approve. Okay. And at this time, we will go to what I have numbered as item four, the ordinance number 2014-05, an ordinance declaring the blighted area exists in the city of Lapine, Oregon, establishing the need for an urban renewal agency in the city of Lapine, and electing a method for exercising the powers of urban renewal agency within the city of Lapine. What I'll do first is I'll ask for a staff report, and then we'll have, we have several who are interested in speaking to the subject.
Mayor, if I may start, yes. And introduce Elaine. You know, urban renewal, you folks have been around it, and most people in the room have been talking about it. I think, for the record, we can go back to November 8th. The community had an event at the Senior Center. Many of you were there, and there was about 100 people there, and they had presentations from people from Downtown Association, other cities, including the city of Sandy, some of you remember. And that was put on by another group, and we were in attendance and part of that and listened. And if you remember right, Ann and everyone was there, and everyone was very enthusiastic, and they sure said they loved what Sandy did and how Sandy did it. And you know, so we took that and said, hey, there are tools out there to do what Sandy did. And rather than to just continue talking, the council, I think rightfully so, felt like let's look into that further and so on. So on November 20th, so we're going back, what, 6 months, basically, 7 months, we had Elaine came and held a workshop, another opportunity for people in the community to learn about urban renewal. Many of you were here. I recognize you. It was in the newspaper, well put out. And we spent hours on urban renewal. How does it work? How is it funded? What's the good, the bad, and the ugly with them? Okay. So at that point, the council hadn't yet decided to move forward. And after hearing the results of folks at that meeting, by and large, most of the folks, the vast majority, said, yes, you should move forward. And ultimately, the council decided to move forward. We then sent out a letter in the first part of, it was actually February 4th. It invited people to come down to see if you'd like to be involved. Task force steering committee was formed with 15 members, and we invited all the public entities, we invited business people, and then also the Chamber of Commerce, and try to kind of get the different folks from all the different groups. And then since then, since February, those groups have been meeting formally, and then asking questions, emailing, and so on, and they have met several times every month since then, March, April, May, and have been working with our consultant who has been here at every one of the meetings, and that kind of gets us to now. So then we do tonight, then we take it up again in July. So it's really got its birth thanks to the chamber and the folks at the Ford Foundation back last November, who got this all going. So with that, we hired Elaine, and she's done a lot of these. She's the expert at it. And so she's here, and she can give you the staff report on urban renewal, because it's very complicated.
All right. Elaine, thank you for coming.
Thank you. Is this on?
Push the red button.
Actually, hit the blue and then it'll just stay on.
Okay.
Or no, red too. Hit the red.
Well, the red's down. Is that good?
Yes.
Okay. I'm Elaine Howard. I have a consulting firm that works just on urban renewal, and I work throughout the state. I've worked with over 30 different agencies throughout the state of Oregon on urban renewal, both in establishing new urban renewal areas and in amending existing plans. So I have a wide amount of experience in urban renewal. So the action that you as City Council have in front of you tonight is just adopting an ordinance, voting on an ordinance to establish an urban renewal agency, and then passing a motion to establish the board members of the urban renewal agency. In the three committee meetings that we had that Rick referred to, we talked about the makeup of an urban renewal agency. The statute allows the City Council to determine the makeup of that agency. It can either be the City Council itself, or it can be made up of other representatives as appointed by the City Council. So the recommendation of the committee was that the agency be made up of two members of the City Council and then other business people and community members for the Urban Renewal Agency. So that was the recommendation. That's what's coming to you. You may decide you don't want to do it that way, or you may decide that you want to go along with the recommendation of the committee. So the Urban Renewal Agency, like Rick said, acts separately from the City Council, even if they are the same as the City Council. If you were the same, you would open one meeting, do your business there, close that meeting, and then open another meeting as the Urban Renewal Agency Board. So it is very typical to have a meeting like this, take off that hat, put on another hat, it becomes the Urban Renewal Agency. The urban renewal plan is set up so that if there are substantial amendments to the urban renewal plan, it still has to come back to you as the City Council. So if anything, and those are defined by statute, and then we also put in a layer that made it so that if there were any projects over a certain level, and I'll cover that later, that it also had to come back to the City Council for review, just so that you didn't lose total control of what happens with the Urban Renewal Agency, that you still are able to review those substantial changes to an urban renewal plan. This action does not adopt the urban renewal plan. It doesn't approve it, doesn't say you want to do it. It only establishes the agency. The agency then later tonight will consider a motion to send the written urban renewal plan and report out for public review. And that means an open house that's scheduled on Wednesday, the planning commission meeting that's scheduled on Wednesday, going to the county commission, sending letters, formal letters to the taxing jurisdictions. They've received informal letters and a number of them were on the committee. And then a City Council hearing on July 9th, and then a City Council vote 2 weeks later. So the City Council is actually the group that will consider whether to adopt the urban renewal plan. The agency just moves it forward into that process. So it's a little confusing, but that's how the statute works, and so that's why we try to follow it that way. Any questions?
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. So at this time, for this part and about the ordinance, we'll take public comment, and I have three members of those with us tonight that would like to speak, and Jerry Hubbard. How you doing, Jerry?
Good evening. My name is Jerry Hubbard. I hold the elected position of Director, Lapine Rural Fire Protection District. I've served for 3 years and I have another 3.5-4 years to go in that position. Lapine Fire Protection District is a 110 square mile fire district, a 1,000 square mile ambulance district. We have 3 fire stations, 22 professional union staff, a fire chief, assistant fire chief, 2 office staff, and we have between 6 and 9 students going to Central Oregon Community College working on an associate degree in fire technology. And we pay their tuition, books, and most of them live on station. And after responding, going through our fire academy, they respond like our regular firefighters do to 911 calls. If the Urban Renewal District is formed and you use tax increment financing, the consultant's report shows that the Lapine Fire will lose about $1 million in revenue over 25 years. That's a lot of money to lose for the district. If that happens, then we could be down to one fire station, 10 firefighters, two engines, and three ambulance units, EMT medic. So that's a huge drop in the service that we provide to everyone from that lives south of Sun River all the way down to northern Klamath County. To prevent the reduction or elimination of firefighter EMT services, as a director and one that does a lot of the financial analysis for the district, it's my responsibility to offer the board of directors options on how we can recover the $999,000 that's projected in revenue loss. The taxpayers outside of the city of Lapine should not be subsidizing the Urban Renewal District in Lapine. If the citizens of Lapine want to improve their community, then they should have the opportunity to vote themselves a tax rate to fund that. In order for us to try to recapture almost $1 million in lost revenue, it's my responsibility to bring to the board various options on how we can recover or obtain revenue. That could be surcharges on EMT services to the residents within the city of the Lapine, firefighting services. We currently offer at no cost a standby EMT ambulance at the Lapine Rodeo. This year we added a third event at their request, but if we start losing an average of $44,000 a year, then free services need to go away. We support the city's efforts in trying to create a better community for its citizens, but as a director on the fire department board, and I think I speak for the rest of the directors, that losing $1 million over 25 years is not acceptable to the district. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Jerry. And now Chief Zupkus.
Thank you, Mayor Mielnick, council members, team manager. Thank you for a moment to speak to you. I'm speaking on behalf of my fire district. My board asked me to be here today. And the reason we're here today is because we received this letter last week on June 10th. And understand clearly the process you're going through and the steps you've gone through and some of the enthusiasm that you've seen in the community. However, as the city manager also is very aware, there's some members of the community that have been extremely concerned each step of the way. It's come to the point now where it needs to be put on record that there are members of the community that are very concerned with the process that's going on right now. Lapine Fire District is definitely not opposed to urban renewal. What scares the dickens out of us and probably every other taxing district that will be reviewing these proposals is the tax increment financing scheme that's being used to fund this or propose to fund this. And as you heard today from your own consultant, you're appointing a board tonight, which tonight will approve a plan all in the same night, which is kind of weird for me to think how that can happen all in one day, to fast track this so you can approve this by mid-July. It's an extremely important decision for the city of Lapine and even the surrounding community because it affects us all. You think you would take your time and do it right, because what's going to happen here is you're taking not just monies from us, but you are taking monies from the school districts, from law enforcement, the special service districts, across the board, and you're going to take their increments and use these monies for the next 25 years, hopefully to do something positive for the city of Lapine. No objection for doing the positive, but in your wake and in the shadow, what's going to happen to these districts? What's going to happen to their taxpayers? Because they're not getting a choice in this. They're not getting a vote on this. You're unilaterally going to make this decision tonight to start this process down the road, or at least the next step, formally appointing this board, and there's no return. I have two pieces of information to provide to the council, and I would hope that once you review it, you'd share it with the new board if you so choose to provide that. The first is the effect of, and the reason we're presenting this to you, because I'm sure for your consultants and your city manager, you hear all the positives of urban renewal. That's only one side of the story, and of course they all have a dog in the fight to where they're going to benefit, and there are a lot of benefits from urban renewal. But there is some, I guess, if you have a dog, you know what also comes with dogs. So, you know, there's some unpleasantries. And some of the unpleasantries is, what do the districts who have lost their funding due to this process do? And that's what Jerry Hubbard, our board member, are trying to explain in detail of some of the things that they're going to have to go through and think about in the next 25 years of the consequences of these decisions. This handout here explained that, how you're going to cap our revenue and take those the differential and fund this new idea for the city of La Pine. I know your consultant and supporters of this say, but wait, we're going to create all this new growth and things like that. Jerry Hubbard just last week got a report from the Cato Institute. And the Cato Institute, if you're all familiar with it, is a Washington DC firm that does not have a dog in this fight and is very well respected internationally. And it talks about the fallacies of urban renewal financing with tax income increasing. And I would really hope that a decision this big for the community, both the city council and the potential new board, just take 5 minutes and read through this. Remember, these folks don't have a dog in this fight. They're totally independent. And I'd hope it opens your eyes to see there are choices and consequences to doing this. There is no free funding. This scheme doesn't just everyone goes home happy. There are significant consequences to the service levels and or the future tax rate to this community going down this path. And again, I'm not talking about urban renewal per se as much as we're talking about, which included in the letter from the city manager, that this also packages a tax increment financing scheme to raise $7 million. And that's what got our attention. So with your permission, Mayor, I'd like to hand these out to your council.
Sure. Thank you.
And I'll leave the extra copies if you do point your board. You can have them. And the other copy, this is from the Lincoln Institute, and they did a study also. I didn't have to give you all the verbiage. There's about a dozen of these policy things out, and you can find them. This one just puts it all in one nutshell, and I didn't have to print off a whole bunch of books that Jerry found. This one here is kind of a quick read what's happening, and on the back side is actually your numbers from your consultant of what the image, what the impact that this is going to happen to the districts that are going to have their tax fund cap for the next 25 years. And the question that we all have to ask is, so what happens to those service levels? What happens to make up those service levels? Because obviously, two things are going to happen. One, hopefully, if urban renewal does what they say it's going to do, it's going to increase growth, even though the Cato report disputes that growth would happen anyway. It's going to cap the revenue for our service areas to provide service for that. And the other thing it doesn't address is that our costs are going to increase every year for the next 25 years. And so you're saying our income within your urban renewal area is not going to grow. It's going to be skimmed off and used for this project. And it's going to be skimmed off without a vote of the people. And that's really concerning. I guess my last point is, if the vote of the people want to take tax dollars, if you remember, our fire districts, we just worked real hard a year ago to get the voters to approve, with the highest percentage ever in the state of Oregon, to approve taxes for the La Pine Fire District. And now the city council in position to say, well, that's nice, but we're going to take any future taxes from the fire district and push it over here. I really think that an ethical issue, I know it's legal, was there an ethical issue with our taxpayers? And does everybody in this room understand how frustrated we get with government and Washington, D.C. and the state government that we don't do what we say? And then these sleight of hand shell games happen, and we wonder why the voters don't support us when we really need them to do so. And I guess the last thing I'm saying is, think of the voter trust in this issue. You know, if what we need to do is so important, and the voters are behind it, there'll be no problem funding this straight up with a vote. I think that's my message, and thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
Yep.
And now, Bob Lumen.
Thank you, Mayor. I've deferred to Mr. Hubbard and the chief.
Okay, all right. Okay, thank you. So you heard the staff report.
You heard, Mr. Mayor, why don't you see if there's anyone else would like to comment.
Okay, is there any further public comment? Okay, hearing none, thank you. I would ask the council that you've heard the staff reports describing it. You've heard community input on the issue, and I would ask discussion on the ordinance. Kathy, any comments?
Not right at this moment.
Okay.
You closed the public comment period.
Yes. Yes.
So this is council deliberation.
So we closed the public comment period, and this is council deliberation time. So let me go to Karen. Karen?
I pretty much understand what the fire department's saying. I also feel that we shouldn't stop something that we want to look into and maybe vote to do, but we're not voting on that tonight. We're just looking into this, and there will be public comment. I don't feel like I've changed my mind on the fact that we need to look at this.
Okay, Greg?
Yeah, I just had a question, Rick, maybe you could answer. Since the Pine only makes up, what was it? I think was it 11% or 13% of the actual
fire district?
Fire district.
Well, under 20, I don't know what the number is.
It's a small amount.
And the then chief, probably. It's under 20. I think it's somewhere in there, 10 to 20. Yeah.
And then isn't the amount that the tax revenues that will be deferred from that base?
Yeah.
Like a 1.5%?
Well, it's according to the study that he, and that was done by Eco Northwest actually. So a firm was hired, and that's all they do is do economic studies,
right,
and stuff like that. And that's a required element. It's 0.30 or less than 1/3 of 1%. And so there's a couple of points I think a person needs to look at. In year one, say 2016, and these have to be just estimates because you don't know values and you don't know other things, but it's a $5,600 estimated cost to the fire district. $5,600. Now, then it goes up, and of course when you get out there 20, 25 years, the number is bigger. And then the total does come to $900,000 somewhere. They're calling it $1 million. It's in, for the sake of the argument, call it $1 million. Because it's still a small number. It is less than 1/3 of 1%, because these numbers are estimated on growth of 4% growth in values. Well, when value goes up, you have to assume it's just not just this little district goes up. The district will go up because hopefully the programs and projects you bring incentivize people to come that wouldn't come. But I think Deschutes County this year is estimating 5%, 6%, and 7% increases in value when you get out. So the fact is that values are going to be going up. So if you have a $2 or $3 million budget this year, and we're 5,000 of that, in 20 years that budget is now 7 million or 8 million or 10 million. Because you can't have, it's a percentage. So you don't have just the one go up without the other going up. If the fire district doesn't levy full amounts because values have now become, because in 25 years you're going to have double the value. So instead of $1 billion assessed value district, you have a $2 billion assessed value district. And if you take the same dollars per thousand how we charge taxes, I mean, their budgets will double. So that's why it's a small part of the budget. It's less than a third. It's money. It takes money, and the concept and we've talked a lot about it, is that you take areas that are blighted. And so if you build an industrial park, because you like Lapine, it's a better place to do business, you will be on the tax rolls. If you build a house at Crescent Creek, you're on the tax rolls. And there is a lot of public debate, and the chief's totally right. You can find a bunch of these reports that, and within the state of Oregon, you don't even have to go to Washington. It is controversial within other taxing districts. So it's a legitimate argument, and the document's legitimate. Now, there's another 10 documents that will show you the opposite of what it does. So, just to give you an example, I think Elaine and I were talking earlier, there's 100 and some year urban renewal districts in Oregon. Bend had one downtown. Anyone that lived here in the 1980 to 85, downtown Bend, you was sagebrush rolling through it. And they formed an urban renewal district. And it was $28 million worth of other districts helping fund it, if you want to call it that, tax increment financing. And that's how they built, and they widened the sidewalks, and they built the fountains and all the things you see that connected the river over. They just shut that down a few years ago. That went on for 25 years. All those millions of dollars worth of value then hit the tax rolls, and those jurisdictions today are benefiting from that increment. They just formed one in about 2008 out on 3rd Street, which you haven't seen much happen on the old highway yet. That's $56 million. Juniper Ridge, to get Les Schwab there, to build that all out, is $41 million. So there's $100 million in Bend, Oregon alone of tax increment financing. The fire departments are paying their share. 911's paying their share, the county's paying their share, the library's paying their share, the city. And any of these countywide entities, you're paying their share. Because when you pay county taxes, and they lose, on the 3rd Street project, it's like $3 to $4 million of the sheriff's department levy that's being diverted to 3rd Street. It's the same sheriff that protects you. The county is losing $3 million on that one alone, but they've got another one at Juniper Ridge. So the facts are, Sisters has a $10 million one. If you've been through it right now, you will see what they're doing. The fire district, according to the report, the rural fire district in Sisters is losing 1.69% of their budget to help build downtown Sisters. And yes, the fire district there, over half the value is outside the city limits. It's up and down subdivisions from there to Camp Sherman with million-dollar mansions along the Metolius River. And they're all helping fund Sisters and to bring it along. And it's costing them not 0.3, 1.69. So yes, there is a cost. There is a cost to entities. But the theory, and I believe it works, will build the community, and Lapine will have more growth, more folks doing things, and ultimately, you will get down the road where you want to be. And I think that if you look at downtown Redmond, if the mayor of Redmond was sitting here, we had George Endicott down, he would tell you how much downtown Redmond, they wanted to avoid the debacle of downtown Bend. They have an urban renewal, and they build a $1 million fountain, all kinds of sidewalks and the arches, and downtown Redmond is now becoming fairly trendy. It's at the early stages. And without that public investment, it wouldn't be there. But then companies want to locate in Bend. Then the people want to build at Eagle Crest. The fire district's getting taxes off of all of those. And so are the other entities. I mean, that's the theory. Do you get some of the growth without it? Of course. Do you get all of it? Who knows? It's a tool that's used by Sandy to Seaside, to Cannon Beach, to Madras, to Redmond, to Bend, to Sisters. I talked to the city folks in Prineville today. They're going to start one, they think, in about 6 months, and they have Trick County Rural Fire District, and I guarantee you that their impact will be a lot more than 0.3. Because normally it's 1 or 2 or higher. I mean, that's the normal percentages, so we're actually pretty lucky. in that. Secondly, we have put, unlike some of them, we put, and those of you who are involved with the plan, about $1.2 million in public facilities. And specifically, in the plan, $1.2 million that can be spent on emergency services, and it's specific emergency services. Police, or not police, we don't have police. It was fire in the Parks District, basically, and potentially the library. So over the life of this 25 years, you'll have over $1 million to spend specifically on, and the plan calls out, fire, parks, and so on. So I think when it's all said and done, you know, the impact, yeah, there's an impact, and but does it cause, you know, three stations to one and all of that stuff? It's 0.3% That's not my number, that's the consultant's number. And so, you know, unless someone can figure it up differently, you know, so I think that's the...
Okay.
Could I have one more question?
Sure.
Are there any statistics out there that show the actual result of doing an urban renewal? You know, for all these cities that have done it, were there any fire companies that had to shut down or parks that had to close? I mean, is that a reality?
Let me answer the first part first. Okay. And unfortunately, I didn't bring that PowerPoint that I showed when I met with you guys in November, but we talked about it and I showed you a number of pictures of other cities where they had done urban renewal, and Astoria is one great example of where in their urban renewal area the amount of growth that's happened because of their investment within their own community. There is a document that's I helped write, the history of urban renewal, that did case studies on a number of cities, and it compared the increase in value in the urban renewal area to the area outside of the city that didn't get outside of the urban renewal area that didn't get the impact that you got within the urban renewal area. And in every study that we did, because you were able to concentrate your investment in one area, the SS values increased there higher than they increased elsewhere within the city. There isn't an overall statewide study of every urban renewal area that says, you know, you start with this or you go to that, but there is that one document that's on the Association of Oregon Redevelopment Agencies website. It's called History of Urban Renewal, and it does talk about a number of different urban renewal areas and talks about the increase in assessed value within that urban renewal area, and talks about in certain instances Lebanon has used urban renewal very effectively, the number of jobs that have come into the area because of the ability to attract companies because of the projects urban renewal has been able to do for them. So the second part of that question is the fire chief would be much better to answer that. I don't know the information about if there has been a fire district that's had to decrease services and have attributed that specifically to urban renewal. I know I've worked with fire chiefs across the state talking about urban renewal and trying to make sure they understand it and hopefully they can support it, but I wouldn't be the right person to ask that question. So I don't know of any, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
And one thing is important to note on schools, because that's a big deal in everyone's. So there's about $3 million that's impacted for schools. And that's over a third of our total, because they pay about a third. When you pay taxes, about a third goes to schools. It's your biggest, you know, of anybody, what you pay. But just again, go back to take Bend, they got just round numbers, they got $100 million worth of these. And a third of that's $33 million. So, and you're in the Bend to Lapine School District. So for the last, since 1983, the people of Lapine and South County have contributed helped your part of contributed $33 million to build downtown Bend and to build the business park and soon the new Third Street. You have helped do that. Now, so now they're gonna get help pay for the $3 million that comes here. But actually, that's not true, because the state of Oregon backfills all school money. So what's happened when Ben cut their taxes, the school didn't get that $30 million. The state of Oregon wrote the check. So the state of Oregon paid for those improvements to, you know, in Bend. $30 million of that $100 million came from the state of Oregon, because the state says we're going to give you $6,000 a student. If you give us $1,000, we'll give you $5,000. If you give us $3,000, we'll give you $3,000. If you give us $5,000, we'll give you $1,000. They make everyone equal. So when Ben Lapine loses, this is in 25 years, and remember their budget's like $200-300 million, they will have $10-15 billion in expenses. But that $3 million is backfilled by the state of Oregon, and they're backfilling it in Sisters and Madras and Portland and Eugene to build up libraries, convention centers, and everything else. So I guess it's to me, it's a little bit Lapine's kind of getting, you know, you're getting your share of the pie. If the discussion is that it's a bad law, then maybe it's time that gets looked at from a statewide and national level, or a statewide level. But those are the rules that are out there. And you don't get any more money to your schools if you play in the game or not. So I think that, I mean, that's important to note. This will not impact school funding, and that's why Ben Lapine Schools, Mr. Wilkinson and I have discussed it. They're not opposing it because it doesn't have any impact. And in fact, Elaine was telling me in some of the financial reports that they've done, they didn't even include schools. They're not even listed as a loser because they don't lose. So if someone goes around town saying schools are going to lose $3 million, that's not true. The state of Oregon over 25 years will lose. But the state of Oregon budget is $6 billion, and so do the increase on that times 25, you know, that's going to be, you know, a bunch of money. So I think that's important. And also just, you know, Ben, Library District was involved. I talked to their director, Mr. Doppelberg. He's been here. He told me, I have an email from him, they're supportive of it, you know, so.
So, like, on this handout, the red ink thing, the actual line, provided that urban renewal works the way it's supposed to, that bottom line, where it says frozen revenues for basic services, will rise as property values increase?
Well,
I'm having a problem with that red.
Well, I would have to know.
I don't want to cut our fire department, you know.
Like, well, it's we're one third of 1.3% So it could be that's out of proportion.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you had 100 and you drew 100 lines and were less than a third of one, if you did a pie chart, take a pie chart and do 99.7, and then that sliver, it'd have to be a thin line.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the math.
Yeah.
That is the math.
But what I'm asking too is, urban renewal will raise property values in the city of Lapine.
That's
so,
the whole.
So this number should go up proportionately with that. I mean, their bottom line is going to rise as the property values in Lapine go up.
Certainly. And remember, as they've said to me before, 80 plus percent of their value is outside the city, and those values are going to go up. They'll far exceed what ours is reduced.
Let me just clarify one thing. I didn't get a copy of this, so let me look at it real quick. But I believe what they're showing on the bottom is the frozen revenue for basic services. So that equals what we've talked about as the frozen base. So that doesn't go up for them until urban renewal is over. So it is true that they get taxes off of, if this plan is adopted, the total assessed value of the property within the area at this time. They continue to get the taxes off of that for the whole life of the plan. What they don't get is the taxes off the increase in value over that 25-year period. So I think what they're saying is their cost of basic services will go up, but they aren't receiving that increased value of assessed value. The thing to understand is your urban renewal area is only, it's not the full city of Lapine, right? It's about 23.5% of it. So they aren't losing that increase in value outside of the urban renewal area, but they are losing it within the urban renewal area. I mean, that's just something, it's a fact. We know that happens, and that's just the way it works. I don't make that law. That's just how it works.
But to help offset that, the urban renewal brings new growth. They get the full revenues of anything outside of that small area, right?
Right.
So if someone builds a Walmart here, you know, outside of that, they're going to get a huge bump.
Right.
That's what I'm. Okay. So right. there is room for improvement. It has to come from new
growth outside of the area.
Okay.
And the other thing about the schools, and this is especially true in communities where you've created a really nice community so people want to live there, the way schools get funded is on a per pupil basis. So if more people live in Lapine and go to your schools, they'll get more money from the state. That's how schools are funded now. Now, every legislature, there's talk about how do we fund schools and what should we do about schools. That's how they're funded now. So if you improve your city and make it a place where more people feel like they want to live, more kids go to the schools, that helps the schools. And that, you know, I work with the city of Sherwood, and that's been a definite impact on the city of Sherwood. And we were able to show that trending of the amount of students who are in their school system, and the schools supported their urban renewal plan because they said they knew that improving the downtown was part of why people wanted to move to Sherwood. So there's pros and cons always.
What was Redmond's new increase? Because I didn't know the number. She said they just did a redo like a year or two ago on their downtown, and so I was amazed at how big that is. It's 100.
They went, let me grab it so I can see the wrong number. So their original maximum indebtedness on their downtown plan was about $28 million. In 2010-11, they went through a substantial amendment to increase their maximum indebtedness. They actually got votes from, they went to each taxing jurisdiction because to increase your maximum indebtedness over a certain level, you have to get the taxing jurisdictions to actually vote to approve that. And they did get votes from their taxing jurisdictions to approve it, and they raised it to $120 million. They were able to show the taxing jurisdictions that what they were doing had a big impact on their city, and that it was worthwhile to continue doing that. And the taxing jurisdictions actually voted and said, yes, we will support you increasing your maximum indebtedness and lengthening your urban renewal plan. So we were talking about other Central Oregon cities who do use urban renewal. So Redmond had their airport one. It was very effective. They closed it down early because they were able to do the things that they wanted to do, able to bring in those jobs that they wanted to bring in and the development around the airport. Redmond, the Bend downtown one is closed. They have two existing urban renewal areas. Madras has an existing urban renewal area, and Sisters has an existing urban renewal area, and Prineville has been going back and forth talking about the potential of doing one. So I understand that it's a tool that has an impact on taxing jurisdictions, and everybody needs to understand that because that's a reality. And that's not the decision we're making at this point. It's something that feeds into your decision. You're making the decision whether to send to create an agency and have that agency send the plan out for public review. And then there can be more discourse about whether it is okay to do it, have impact on the taxing jurisdictions or not, and have more public input on that. And at some point, you as City Council will make the ultimate determination of whether to adopt an urban renewal plan.
Yeah, I just wanted to be sure.
Sure.
I have all the facts when someone asks me about what, you know,
yep.
if this is circulated,
yep.
this, if I can give an answer to it. So. Thank you.
Any comment, Gabby?
I understand their concerns, but I also feel that we would be remiss not to move ahead, at least for the public review, to be able to see it all put together and then move on from there, see what we really think. I think we would just, I think that's the only way I see of doing this. I think we would really be remiss just to forget it.
Well, I think it only prudent that we move forward. We would not be responsible, not just to the citizens of the city, but to the outlying areas that we did. I understand the fire district's concern because I've sat in the same spot since 1996, I believe. So I understand their concern. But for myself, I want to have all the information, and by moving forward to the committee to get the facts and get the public comment, not just from the other districts, but from the citizens and the public outside of the city, so that we can evaluate it and then make a decision. So I'm in favor of appointing the committee.
Okay. Any further comments? From what I gather, is there a motion to approve ordinance number 2014-05?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Roll call.
Aye.
Roll call.
Roll call.
Of course, on an ordinance.
Karen Ward.
Aye.
Greg Jones. Aye.
Steve Martinez. Aye.
Kathy Egan, aye.
Opposed? Let the record reflect that a roll call vote was taken and it was a unanimous approval of adopting ordinance number 2014-05. And at this point in time, we'll go to item number, it's number 7 on my sheet as I've renumbered it, and it's the appointment of an urban renewal board and the members therein. You have in front of you a list of the Urban Renewal Agency board members that are being recommended by the Urban Renewal Committee that has been meeting. And is there any discussion?
Well, just Mr. Mayor, what we did, we talked to some of the members, with the exception of Wendy. Everyone else was involved and attended one or all of the urban renewal meetings. In some cases, probably 3/4 of them were back in November, so they've got six months plus into this. And we had decided, because we were forming it without the majority of the council, that's why there's two council. The other thing that I tried to do when we did this was, you want urban renewal boards, if you can, to be as many business type folks as you can. You'll notice most of these people, of course, don't live in the city. You know, they live between here and Sun River, but because they're not city residents, but they own businesses and they have interests here. So we try to kind of, you know, do that the best we can. Obviously, vacancies will come along, and there'll have to be some appointments along the way. And Vicki Russell, I'm not sure where she is, but she's excited and wanted to serve, and has been very active in it. And Dan Barco too. Dan is traveling and won't get back till about 9 o'clock tonight. So we do have the other five here, and talked to Steve Dodd. He's back here. There's Ann. You're here, of course. And the two of you. So if folks would like to. So the idea is you would appoint them, and then that will become your committee. Your board.
Is there any further discussion, Council? Hearing none, I will ask for a motion to appoint the Urban Renewal Board members as listed in front of you.
So moved.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approval of the board members as listed?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Let the record reflect that the board members that were proposed are appointed to the Urban Renewal Board. At this time, I will entertain public comment.
On the selection of the board members, was there a public announcement relating to the potential candidates for the Urban Renewal Board? No.
No.
We took them from the committee.
Committee's recommendation.
So the committee recommended themselves?
The committee didn't actually recommend specific people.
No, they did not recommend specific people.
So who recommended it?
I emailed them to see who was interested, and these are the folks that were interested.
But the public wasn't allowed to participate in the selection of the committee? Of the board.
The public, there was no public process, no.
How can you create a governmental agency with no public process?
Because they're elected and they'll do the appointing, and so.
Yeah.
And also, it's creating it for the first time.
The statute actually allows the City Council to appoint an Urban Renewal Agency Board. So it's provided for in ORS 457 that the City Council can make that appointment.
Okay. And in effect, that's what we've done with this motion and vote, is to appoint these individuals to the initial Urban Renewal Agency Board.
Now, all of our meetings have been public right. Members, and they're on our websites.
Yeah.
Do these appointed committee people now know what their responsibilities are, what their tasks are? Do they have a list of why they signed on and why they're agreeing to serve?
They're going to learn that.
They're
good. Okay.
Yeah.
And they're not coming with any bias, so they'll be able to, you know, it's a complicated process down the road, and they'll be learning 2 years from now. But that's true in any urban renewal district that was formed. You know, you don't come in knowing about urban renewal.
And I think that's inherent in any board that gets appointed. If we started an arts and culture board, you would appoint people, and they would be in a learning curve, just like this. So,
Mr. Mayor, so this is different than an arts and culture board. You know, you're creating a citizen group through ordinance that has eventually the power to spend $7 to $8 million.
Mm-hmm.
And you created this board with no public announcement and no public input. No one was able to submit their credentials to be on this board.
I think, Jerry, my reference to the two was strictly about the learning curve associated with, in response to the earlier comment, really no more than just any new board that gets established has a learning curve, and that was really what my reference was to. Okay. Are there any further comments, Council? I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I have one more comment. In regards to the urban renewal, this is in the city of La Pine, am I correct?
Yes.
And how about this 300 acres that's being set aside out where the rodeo grounds is? It's outside the city limits. I'm fairly new to the area, so I don't know the streets. But there's 300 and some acres outside of the city limits that are becoming part of this. I'm curious how that can be.
It's less than 300 acres, but we'll ask...
It's actually about 300 acres.
Oh, it was 1 acre.
Yeah. So the approval process is, if you have any property that is outside of the city limits, the county also has to approve the urban renewal plan. So for this plan to be effective, the county commission will also have to vote approval of the urban renewal plan.
Okay.
And what if the county didn't?
If the county didn't, then you could take that acreage out and approve just the acreage within the urban renewal area of the city. That acreage was put in an attempt to help with the development of that area into a future rodeo site and help with the parks district to make sure that that gets development, which will bring economic activity to La Pine. So it does make sense for that to be developed and to bring more economic activity to La Pine. I drove through Sisters this weekend and they were having a rodeo, and the amount of people it brings, the ability to have a facility like that is great. And it's within the urban growth boundary, it's in Deschutes County, and we have talked with Deschutes County, and we will be putting it on their agenda for review.
Okay. If that becomes an issue, it would get dropped. What happens is you've punished the Parks District because it pays no taxes now. It's federal land. When it becomes Park District land, it pays no taxes. It doesn't, not one number, one thing about it. She doesn't have to change a chart or a graph because not one number changes. It doesn't pay taxes in or out of the district. It will never put taxes into the district, no more than school property or the fire district property. So what it does, it allows, again, you know, 20 years from now, who knows who's going to be around here. And so this is a long-term plan, so it gives the community, you know, and I say that the rodeo board and all those folks who are spread from here to Sun River, it gives them the chance and the opportunity to make decisions 10, 15 years from now by putting it in there. It doesn't mean a dollar has to get spent there, and like I say, it has no effect on the numbers. So if that becomes a red herring, take it out, and then the Parks District suffers.
Well, if I'm right, if it's out, there's no water, no sewer.
No, they'll just have to go raise money in the community some other way.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not against urban renewal at all. You know, beautifying the city, I'm all for it. My concern is, are we in the boundaries of law, ordinance, statute, whatever it is, by including that? And if that's the case, I know hundreds and hundreds of homes where the values could be raised if you paved the streets.
Mm-hmm. Put in sewer and water.
Yes. So that's where I'm curious, where these, how this piece of property came into being on this urban renewal, as opposed to my street getting paved. I'm not speaking as fire department at all. It's a concerned citizen.
Can I say something? On this, pardon me?
One last comment.
Okay, on this, you're about ready to vote on this committee and everything else, but do you know any background on these guys at all? Do you have anything on them? Have they ever, I mean, the thing is, I'd rather have him put the fire out next to my house than have a new fountain downtown. You know what I'm saying? So I want to make sure that, you know, while these guys are learning how to do this and how to run this program, that they're not losing money over it. So, I mean, is that what's going to happen? You say it's going to take a little while to train these people how to... am I making sense at all? I mean, I'm just... why they're in training and why they're trying to figure out what they're going to do with this city, are these guys going to bear the burden on that?
Let's go to our...
You actually don't receive any increment until over a year, so you have that amount of time to... these people, most of them, there's one exception, have been involved in the committee, so they've learned a lot about urban renewal and what it can do and what it can't do. They'll have at least a year to adopt their bylaws, to set up their, do a budget process, to go through the formation of what they have to do. So there's time for them, and this is how it's worked for every agency. You adopt an urban renewal plan at some point, you establish an agency, you adopt a plan, it takes at least a year before that money starts coming in. So that's that training ground, learning how to operate, making sure you know what your responsibilities are.
Too much money first anyway.
No, there's very small amounts of money early in the years.
Thank you, Elaine.
I hope what I say doesn't upset anybody, but also I've attended all of these meetings. I think perhaps I've missed one. But I know the fire district is very busy, but I really, every time I came, I wished that somebody was there, even if I know Mike was busy or something, even if there could have been a rotating so that you guys would have been at the table each time. I would have loved to have seen that, and I feel bad that it's, you know, come down to just tonight, because as far as my understanding, as was I welcome, somebody could have been here, and even, like I said, even if it was rotating, I know you're all busy, but I just feel bad about that, and that's all I have.
Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Moved and seconded, we're adjourned.
Okay, so just make sure you remember also we'll have an open house at the chamber at 5 o'clock next Wednesday.